Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
It's me, Carly Mahady, and him,
Ian Doyle,
because Sean is in bed with the trots. He is very unwell, and he wasn't able to come in and do the podcast with us today, but I do have two lovely strapping young men with me today, and it's the two lads from the Inner City Running Club. I'm joined by Dwayne and Carl. How are you, lads?
How's things, Carly?
That's the story. Yeah. You're a little bit nervous, Carly. Don't go there.
It was a bit of how's things, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was nice.
What's
I liked
up?
It.
What's up?
I think going back to changes.
He wasn't like that a few minutes ago, was he?
He dared have to be and rip me out of it. Was thinking now he's had to go on mute.
Don't be like that. Be confident, Carl.
How are the guys? What's the story?
Good. How are you?
Good. Not a bother. A bit nervous. My face and all throat. I can feel myself going purple.
If your face is purple, can you imagine Sean's arse with the trots?
I think his arse would have been the same colour if he had came in and seen you anyway. So
Oh my God. Put your arse out to be slammed. I mean your hand.
Oh, good luck. Now, I actually... There's a few reasons that I thought Sean wasn't coming in, and one is because he's very competitive and he didn't want you to be better than him. Two is he would have hit a hard one if he had seen the 2 years in the room.
Dwayne and a pair of baked beans.
Do you know what I mean?
I'm
getting a little bit warm, Dwayne. I think you look great.
It's terrible. If you wear a tracksuit, you're a scumbag because you're stereotyped. You throw a pair of jeans on then and sad, you know what?
You think you're someone, isn't it?
Yeah, you can't win.
Yeah.
Never even said that to me, that he's putting a pair of baked beans.
Do you know what I mean, Carl? And he hung you out to dry. You done that on purpose, I think.
Now, if you see me in a pair of jeans, there's something special happening.
That's never
in a pair of jeans. You should have worn them, Carl, in fairness. You're doing a podcast.
He was in a fucking fitness training course before he came.
It wasn't the labour sent him there.
Say nothing, I wasn't.
Take your job, man. Oh, so talk to me. What's the story? Is it busier than ever?
Yeah, no, it's great. The club is flying. We're back from Madrid 2 weeks. We're opening a clubhouse on Saturday. We took 72 new members on the new Kickstart programme last night. It's unbelievable. It's mental. It's really, really, and I'll always say, anyone that looks in from the outset obviously says the club is amazing. But I'm glad we're always given these platforms to talk about the club, but people don't realise what goes on behind closed doors. And what I mean by that is the work that goes in behind it. People say on social media, like, it's the best thing since sliced bread.
Yeah.
The reason it's like that is because the work that goes in.
So, for people that don't know, I'd like to get a bit of a better background about the Inner City Running Club and how it started, how it came about, and... yeah, just how he's got going with it. So where was the idea born from? First of all, you know each other a couple of years.
Too long. Too long, to be honest.
But
it?
We were never in a cell together.
Oh, that which isn't is a good that low. And for where you are from, that's an achievement, isn't it? But I used to pal around with you two separately.
Yeah.
So I palled around with you in Smithfield in
Quaintree.
Thank you. Yeah. And you in
Kevin Barry.
I don't never remember palling around with the two of you together.
See, when probably at that stage, Dwayne was with his mate from Henrietta.
Yeah.
And then I was a floater. We were floating.
Yeah.
From Greek Creek to Quaintree.
All
to
over
Hill.
The shop. Yeah. We were everywhere. Back in the tap days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Downstairs in the tap.
Did you used to go to the tap? I know me and you used it. Did you?
Yeah. Same. Well, I used to go for an hour and I used to run hogs. He managed to batter me.
Getting skulls right
now. That's not one of the law, yeah.
Then down to Saints and Sinners. Remember that?
Oh my God. And Club 80s. Remember Club 80s? Did you never go to Club 80s?
No.
That was more of a Larkin thing. So when I was in Larkin, everybody from there used to come down. It was just, was it off Capel? I think it was on Capel Street.
Was it, yeah?
Oh my God, everybody used to be ducking and diving in the place because the undercovers used to come in and that wasn't a valid idea in the gaff.
Me and Carl, we used to have so... So, back to your question, we first met. Back to your question, Carly.
It's always going to go this way.
We met. I went from Torger, thinking I was great, skipping forward.
No, you knew me well before.
Yeah, but
then.
That's when we start palling around. That's when we became. Yeah. Boom.
You have the same skill.
Yeah.
All right.
And then that's when I went downhill, like bad.
Dwayne thought I had an addiction in school. And
Carl told me he was strung out on snowblow for about 2 years. And I was trying to get Carl to counselling.
You were a vigilante. You were trying to save his life.
Yeah, I was trying to save his life. And then he's now saved mine.
Swings around about.
That's it.
Lovely.
And then from that then, yeah, we were just close friends. Me,
played
Jay,
football together,
Carl,
the whole lot. And then just started a running club.
You've just started a running club.
Yeah.
Were you taking the piss out of each other one day? No. How did this come about?
So it was COVID when we were laid off work.
Right.
And it was just nothing to do. And then it was just, it's funny because being asked this question so many times, and it's always the same answer. It's just, you've nothing else to do. Jordan Colby, you're just training like a lunatic.
Kind of started with the challenge and all that.
And then
remember?
You're seeing a true benefit of exercising. And then I was just getting people out, put a post out on social media explaining what was going to happen, what I wanted to do, all that kind of stuff. And then before we know it, then we had 36 runners at a run the following week. And then 2.5 years later, we've over 220 members.
Yeah, that was it's still remember that day, like it was yesterday. Remember, we were standing there in the polo grounds. We probably had 10 people around us. And what time was it? 10 o'clock meet or something like that?
Yeah, but it was like 5 to 10 then.
5 to 10, we were like, great, 10 people. Thought it was great.
Lovely.
And then we looked over, and next of all, there's a crowd walking towards us. We're like, what the fuck's that happening here?
That's a bit of crack, isn't it? But were you running yous ourselves beforehand?
We signed up to do the 100 miles in a month for the Mata Foundation.
And then
remember?
We done a marathon together.
And
Jordan Cover.
Now, like that, we weren't mad runners or anything.
We
liked to keep fit. We played football.
Yeah.
And then obviously COVID took that out of play. We remember we played with Usher. There was a running club up beside Island Bridge there.
Right.
As we were going to train, we'd be slagging them saying, why the fuck would you be going running?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? What do you get out of it?
Yeah.
And then probably a year later, we had our own running club. It's mad.
It's a bit of crack, isn't it? Looking back at it that way.
No, it's good. It's amazing. The best part about it is, from a young age, obviously someone running club, you must, like, Viv is in the room here, she might kill us. But
like, poshies.
You poshies. Yeah,
100%.
You're like, on athletics, you think it's posh. But what we've done is, and people might say, he's a neck like a jockey's, you know what, but I personally believe we have changed the whole running scene.
100%.
And I think we've showcased that to our social media in terms of the people that we have running, and that it's for anybody.
Yeah.
And that was something that we learned, and it came upon a time that we were like, do you know what, it's not for these elite people.
Mm.
And for example, was going back 2 weeks ago to Madrid, we had 65 runners.
Yeah.
65 of those people never really ran before. From the flats, people that would drink cans during the week watching Coronation Street. Now they're going out running.
Yeah, I'd say 99% of the members never ran before the club. And that's probably including us, to a sense, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All started off with Kickstarter programs, Couch to 5K, and then before you know it, they're running marathons, half marathons, 50Ks.
It's,
you know,
mental, isn't
it? Over the course of nearly 3 years now, and to look back at what we've achieved over them 3 years, it's mad.
That's insane.
Mad. I'd sit here and talk about it all day.
Yeah, years and years.
And it's very hard when people say, tell us about the club. Because it's very hard to put into words. It's just that feeling. Like there last night, we launched the Kickstarter program. And just seeing people buzzing and people that's been in the club welcoming new people. It's a special feeling. It's a place for everybody.
Yeah.
And you know, it's a safe place.
Completely agree with you there. Like, even when I done the 5K, which is just gone, when I went down to the flats that morning, I was completely on my own. I wasn't on my own after 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Malahead over there seeing him, was talking to him for a few minutes here. Sam, that does the videos for us. And then
your prisms.
And then I bumped into just loads of different girls, and they were just asking, like, oh, what are you going to say down to 5 out of 10? Everybody's just chatting and bouncing off each other.
You said something a minute ago about businesses running years don't have. People will never have what we have.
No.
It's raw.
Yeah.
And it's really? People will try and match it, But it'll never happen because they don't have the core people that we have.
Yeah.
Carl hit the nail on the head a couple of years, and it's probably one of the best quotes the club has got. Salt of the earth. The people are salt of the earth. Yeah. People from the heart of the town, heart of inner city, are complete salt of the earth. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're so successful. It's because of the members. Yes, we set the tone. We're messers. We love to have a bit of crack.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to, say, the business end of getting people ready for this kind of stuff, we are a little bit stern.
Or being on a podcast and changing how you talk.
Yeah, but no, never change how you talk. But it's just more. It's just like, it's great that we can have the crack while doing it. Yeah. I don't think we still doing it. We didn't enjoy it, because I've always said, never enjoy something. Don't point doing something we don't enjoy it. Like, the club eats, sleep, and breathe it. Like, it's the most magical feeling in the world. Seeing people achieve, now, regardless if you run the marathon or 5k, and I'm actually more inclined to see people complete the first 5k than someone complete a marathon.
Yeah,
and it's probably someone say, "Jesus, a bit weird statement." But when you get someone not being able to run their first 5k, the sense of achievement of "oh fuck, I'm at the doing it."
Yeah,
you can never replace that moment.
I said it to the new gang there last night. I think we done one lap of the Garmin, which is a 1k loop.
Yeah,
and they were at that doing it, run walk, and they completed 1k. I said, "Congratulations, here's your first milestone." Is a kilometer.
Yeah.
For a lot of people, that probably sounds like nothing. But for someone else, it's massive.
Yeah.
It's massive. And that's, like, for them to do that, to, like, people think when you're running, oh, you're running out the door and you just run until you can't stop. You know what I mean? But it's just showing them how you can run, walk. Regardless if you walk, you're still completing 1K, 2K, 3K, the same as anybody else that's running continuously.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then over the course of time, you're going to get fitter. Some people are going to lose weight. They're going to become lighter. So it's going to become easier. You're going to run for longer. You know, just hit milestones that way.
It's absolutely fantastic. Yeah. Like, even when I was training to do the 5K, here's me thinking, I'll go out and I'll do 3K and I'll be all right, and then I'll train after that. Oh, he was blowing out me hole before I even hit a half a K, and I was like, this is no joke.
Breathing like a pug.
Yeah.
It's and you know what? It shouldn't be embarrassing, but to me it really was. I was so embarrassed running on the streets.
100%, like, because it's something you've never done before, and that's what we try build people's confidence. Do you know what I mean? Like, even there's some days where I'm running now the last 3 years, say, proper.
Yeah.
And there's some days where I'm just like, not going out running. I don't know what comes over me, a bit of anxiety.
Yeah,
and I'm like, why am I anxious? I don't know why.
Yeah.
Just thinking too much or something like that. But then when you get out and you're running, and that just feel good factor. I think when you run, it opens up your mind. Do you know what I mean? It's unbelievable. And then when you finish the run that you didn't want to do, it's an added bonus.
So I have to ask you, because I don't believe in it, I'm going to hold my hands up. Runner's high, is it real?
I was only going to say it.
Is it real?
100%. Like, for me, a runner's high is when you're running, you have to be on your own.
Right, okay.
So for me, you have to be on your own. So I love dance classics. Put them in the ears, volume up, and going back to the good days. And, like, there's a feeling you get out of your body, and it's just pure tingles down your neck, all the way down to the back of your heels, and it's just one of those feelings. You feel bulletproof. And that's what runner's high is to me. You're running, you feel bulletproof, you feel like nothing can ever get in the way of what you want to do. Now, bear in mind, you probably go out the next day and you feel shy.
In the screamers,
but in that specific moment, Carl, isn't unbelievable?
Ah, when you get it, you'll know all about it.
Well, why was God, can you remember the first time you got it to Perius?
You still get it.
It's, do you know what? It's probably an individual thing for some people, you know what I mean? Someone might feel a different way about it or something like that. But when you get it, you'll know.
Well, yeah, I didn't fucking get it on my 5K, I promise you that much.
Trust me, so how
did you feel when you crossed the finish line?
Fantastic, but I was blowing out of me hole for every second. See, at the White Moose, I said, fuck Dwayne and fuck Carl and fuck this whole thing. I said, I'm not doing anymore.
We had this conversation the other day, Reem. So, when you don't train, you don't enjoy it. You might have something in your mind that you're going to do it, but when you don't look after yourself correctly, you don't enjoy it. So, and going back to Madrid, I done the marathon 2 weeks ago, and I hated it. I didn't train correctly. It's been a crazy year in terms of life, injury, all that kind of stuff. I didn't train, I didn't employ myself right, and I didn't enjoy the marathon. I wasn't ready to run at the pace I wanted to run, and I blew up. Now, that was me. I didn't get a runner's high there because I didn't look after myself. So you have to play the game as well. You have to train. You have to look after yourself. You have to play yourself right. You don't just get out of bed and run and get runner's high.
Of course.
Do you know what I mean? So,
do you think that was in your subconscious mind before you ran that marathon the other day?
No.
No?
No, because I believe I could do anything I want in my life. Right. Personally, now I got a smack of reality 2 weeks ago, but I ran someone else's race. I didn't run my own race. I ran someone else's race. And I said to Carl Wrangham, I blew up at 19K. No, trust me when I say I didn't stop till I got the medal. I wasn't putting myself over. And that's
unbelievable.
That was a great thing in my mind. So it was the first time doing enduring sports the last 3 years. It was the first time I was ever correctly tested mentally.
And sometimes you have to control them hard times to appreciate then the good ones.
Oh, 100%.
Because the next marathon he'll do,
you'll be
smash,
flat
and
out.
Then,
and
you know
be...
what I mean? And you learn from them previous experiences of when you struggled. And then if you do struggle again, you know how to overcome them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
100%. So the last thing you want to do when you're in the horrors is move. You want to sit in your hole and you want to whinge. Do you know what I mean?
So what happened was my quads locked.
Right.
And my legs wouldn't let now. I kept locking, not locking, locking, not locking. So all you said, you have to just run, walk, run, walk. Got to a stage where I couldn't run anymore, so I was walking. But trust me, all the kids standing there, I was shaking their hands. You know, I was clapping their hands. I was in Madrid. It was 26 degrees. I'm taking the views in. I just accepted what... People have this thing when running this fucking stupid cunt David Goggins, stay hard, all this bollocks mentality. It pisses me off.
I thought I was him after me.
No, but seriously, it does. It pisses me off because sometimes it's okay. And I only had this today talking at the wellbeing talk. It's okay not to be okay. Why do you always have to be this bulletproof person that's like, you know, we'll get through all, we can do this, blah, blah. Sometimes it's okay not to be okay. So I just accepted that today wasn't my day. I wasn't going to let it break me. Just enjoyed the day. I got to the finish line, I got my medal. I didn't get what I wanted, but I got a good portion of it. I smiled, slapping the kids' hand, and when I went away from it, I said, you know what? I'm glad I didn't just say, you know what? Fuck this, I'm pulling myself out of this. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's ways of enjoying it as well. And
yeah.
It is. It's what Dwayne said. Like, we ran in Barcelona last year and I went for time. And I got the time I wanted. I was delighted.
Yeah.
Couldn't believe I'd done it. But at the same time, when I was running for time, I was constantly looking at the watch, my own time. And to a certain extent...
takes the joy out of it.
It does take the joy out of it because you're under pressure.
Yeah.
You're at the telling people what you're going out to do, and if you don't do it, you feel like a failure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like that, we ran in Rome nearly 3 years ago now.
Yeah.
And we ran with the group. We actually ran with Maria and Tasha.
Yeah.
And to this day, it's my favourite marathon because we were able to run at their pace. Able to take everything in, we were having a bit of crack, we were messing, they were giving out sponges with cold water, we were throwing them at each other, but we were able to take everything in where there was no pressure and just enjoy the moment. And we couldn't believe where we were actually running. We're saying, like,
gone through the city
every Monday, Wednesday, Saturday, we're up in the Grange Gorman, now we're in Rome, we're running past the Colosseum, we're running through the Vatican. The girls in sports bras running through the Vatican. Probably
look,
the
do you
first
know what?
Ones
wonderful.
Ever to do it, you know what I mean?
Well, I see the Pope on a hard.
But I do believe that is why you are successful as you are, because when you have a gentle approach to something, like the way you're been saying about David Goggins and all, the tie in the fitness industry between toxic masculinity and exercise and fitness is fucking insane.
Say that again.
The tie in the industry between toxic masculinity and fitness.
That's some vocab for you.
What?
Spell it. Someone told me you've done LTA.
I should finish.
I don't think so.
No, but you
are right. I'm only messing, but you are right. And look, okay, to our members is, once you show up, doesn't mean you've done your session. You have to put the work in. But as soon as you put the work in, we'll be the first people to congratulate you. And we have this little thing, when people want to join up with the club, you have to make the first step,
and just
every other step after that, we
just
will
touching on what you're saying there. Sometimes turning up is the hardest step.
Sure, I didn't go near you when I,
you know what I mean?
When you sent me the program, I was like, I'm not fucking going down there.
You,
shit.
When you show up for the first time, that's the hardest step. And
we
congratulate people on that. We congratulated the guys on the day last night, saying showing up, especially when you're walking up there on your own, you're saying, everybody's going to know each other, I'm kind of from out in Black Rock.
Just have people.
You know.
So, babe, if you want to go, love, you can go.
Turning up, thinking it's going to be clicky or whatever. But when you show up for the first time and you see how welcoming everybody is, you're like, why did I not go any earlier?
Yeah.
Because there's people still coming to the club today that's saying, we wanted to go up the very first session.
Yeah.
And it's took them nearly 3 years to get there.
To get there.
You know what I mean? And it is a big thing to do. Like Dwayne was saying, he met me, I was on a course today. I'm looking to sign up to this course so many years now, and I was just held myself back. You're saying, oh no, I'm not going to go, I'm one of these people. Dwayne, do you want to do this course? Yeah, I'll do it. Then I'll do it.
Yeah.
But I kind of went down my comfort zone. I said, you know what, I'm just going to sign up and I'm going to do it. And you do come out of your comfort zone. And I think it's only when you come out of your comfort zone that you start to grow as a person. Already I'm looking at doing another course. Do you know what I mean? It's a good thing to do.
I think when you stay and you see other people achieving and you see other people that's come up, like, we get an awful lot of people that suffer with their mental health.
Oh,
and
God, yeah.
I'll be honest with you, from, and I always think back from the when the video went out to what the whole ethos behind the club was just to get people out, get active. Didn't realise you become a counsellor. And you have to take, like, and that was a big part of adapting and still are adapting.
Yeah.
You hear some people's problems and you're like, oh, fuck. And you have to keep that to yourself.
Oh, 100%.
And it's hard. It's not that it's hard to keep it to yourself, but like, you're like, geez, didn't know that was going on in people's lives. Like, we had people to come with us and you were taking antidepressants and now you don't take any more antidepressants because they're running the antidepressants. So the stuff, like, we're more than a run club. That's another little cliche quote that we have. We're more than a run club.
It's so fucking true.
And it is 100% true. And the group that we have, like, they're extraordinary people. Like, I'm not joking with you. They're like family now, Carl, aren't they? They're just amazing.
We're one big fucked up family.
Oh, yeah.
I always say it. That's what we are. Like, but, like, just every trade going in the group. If you're looking for a hairdresser, we know someone. If you're
looking for a mirror, you have a mirror. Yeah.
Now, not like me and Dwayne are looking for mirrors or anything like that.
What do you mean?
Little touch-ups on Ireland Day. I'm not saying I didn't see us.
Simon Delaney done that.
We didn't get makeup.
What are you lying for?
I swear, on the baby's life. No,
the baby's life.
I can't even say that now, messing.
How are you getting on being a father?
High on
between
life.
Between all of
this, yeah? High on life, yeah. Best feeling ever.
Yeah.
Special.
It's a long time coming. You was out together since we were in them flats.
12 years.
Fucking 12 hell.
And we only did it once and she got pregnant.
Do you know what I mean?
Probably a man's listening to this. Jane, I swear it was once. One off.
Oh my God, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And
she texts me first.
Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? Did you just plan that now?
It was, do you know what? What we each other 12 years.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? If it happened, it happened. And like, just people out there that get caught in the first time that we each other away. So, like that, it's
what you're saying is you aren't stupid.
Yeah, it's a new chapter in our life and we're embracing it. It's great.
Yeah.
It's, I swear to God that I'm a different person since we had the baby. I'm at the grown up more in the last 3 weeks than I have in me previous.
I'm a different person these last 3 weeks.
Do me a favour. We played that part we just last said because it's true. No, but even when I remember when Carl told me Tash was pregnant, was like, Neil be a great dad, and obviously seeing it, like he's really good now.
Hands on,
me a baby, I'm like, no, because they're not yours.
It's a different story.
The Lani now, she's a little beauty, but even the car, like, you can see when he first started talking about it, never forget, the tears are rolling down my eyes in Boko. He'd love bubbles in his eyes.
When you talk about something you're passionate about.
Oh, you want to see him.
And you feel it when you're talking about it every time, but Dwayne was actually on a run. He was training for Madrid at the time.
Yeah.
And Tasha was out there having the baby, so we sent him a voice note.
Oh.
And then he said it came over. He was listening to earphones, dance classics, got interrupted.
Oh, so you're running, never forget it. And you're coming down the back of 44, and I was coming back to the Dunleary Village. And I was like, so I have him say, then he found us Carlito.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have a message from Carlito. You are now an uncle. And I'll never forget that moment.
No.
I don't even think I ran that fast in my life.
Yeah.
And I swear I was buzzing, absolutely buzzing.
Beeline for the kiln.
But yeah,
that PB that day, did you?
Yeah, that was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. And
like, that's what fucked him up. He done his hamstring that day.
No, but just over the last while, like, just moments that we've had even outside the club, like, people forget, like, the club has been straining on our friendship. It has been, because there's so much involved in it, like, there really is.
Well, clashing ideas and all the whole lot, and what you believe is right and that, that's like, always going to be hard.
It's been, but that was just another moment, like, apart from the club, it was just, like, proper friendship. And it was really, really magical, really special. And over the last couple of weeks, like, she's 3 weeks old this week, is she, Carl?
4 weeks
Four weeks this Sunday, and, like, I'm not joking, any time you see him, we're is, I've never seen Carl like that.
Yeah.
Like, Carl is real subtle, real shy. Like, when Lanny's there, it's like he's all in love.
I know that.
Daddy cool.
This is it. But what I was going to say as well, do you consider yourselves lucky that your two partners are so involved in the club as well? Oh, do you think that that's a big aspect of it? Because 100%. For how much you used to work and how much time you spend in the club, do you consider yourselves very blessed with the way the girls are?
The girls come on board and they throw their ideas towards it.
Yeah.
And then like that, they picked up run.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, when we ran in Rome for the first time, the two girls ran marathons.
Yeah.
That was special.
Yeah.
That was really, really special.
Because I can't imagine being in a relationship with somebody that had no interest or somebody that didn't really support or whatever.
I'll be honest, like, this year, the running club had a massive effect on my relationship.
Right. Very big, yeah, very honest.
Truthfully, I'm not going to lie to you. Yeah. So, people are obviously listening. So, go back a couple of years.
Yeah.
Running club was doing well. And I always wanted to turn the running club full time. Always. Because I wanted to be a full time job, not to make lots of money, but to do something
yourself,
you enjoy
have
doing.
Have the freedom and enjoy it.
This weekend, we're opening a gym, clubhouse. So, the running club's gone full time. I left my job a couple of weeks ago. All that kind of stuff, and that's had
can we get a round of applause?
No, yeah. Like, it's that's had a massive effect on my relationship. So, and it's not tested us, like, we've a great relationship. I'm very proud.
Oh, you guys are together a really long time as well, aren't you?
We only got engaged in September, so everything was amazing, was great. And then this year, then on decisions that I've made has affected our relationship. Now, we sat down and spoke about them, but for a couple of weeks, like, it's not like we're going to break up or anything.
No, but that can be a bit of tension, a bit of pull.
100%, because you have this plan and then life is rejiggled in a way, and it's just like, fuck, what do we do now?
Yeah.
So it does have its effects, but it's a true story and it's a true saying behind every good man, there's a better woman.
Yeah.
And that's what we have.
And they're two fantastic women that are witches as well. Very headstrong. They're great.
It's one thing we don't write in life.
There you go.
Two.
The club and the women.
No, but you know what, man. Speaking for both of us when I say that.
Yeah, but two.
Right, two.
The running club, two. They're great, like, and you do need it, like, you really, really do. And Maria Rain checks me, she brings me back down to reality.
But that's what I'm saying, she'll take you off your high horse, and you need people like that, you know what I'm saying?
My family
she's from Sheriff Street.
Yeah, and she'd absolutely.
She's not from Sheriff Street, it's Cannon Lillis Avenue.
Oh, and you know what?
Do you want to give the number of our house as well? There,
Do you know what? We'll just bleep that.
If anyone gets caught in the Lewis, it's number. No, they're good. They're good.
Sam didn't pay for the Lewis today because it's his birthday.
Look at him, you shit. Follows the rules. Look at him, his pots are gone.
Here's a leave card.
Ah, bless you.
Your leave card.
I'm actually not able for
I was tapping my labour card off.
Oh, good
But back to the girls, they're great. Yeah.
The girls are fantastic. And another thing that I was curious about as well, obviously because you deal with so many people, is there any kind of, I hate to call it a success story, but is there any particular story, I don't want names or anything, but is there any particular story that you were faced with, that somebody had a bit of a situation and the running club has helped them like massively? Anybody that was a particular problem?
Yeah,
happened this year. So
I'm just curious.
No, this year the club has been, this year has been amazing. We're getting so many opportunities. Mm-hmm. So we're offered two contracts this year. We got one with Brooks
fantastic
Runner,
yeah, that was then, absolutely unreal.
And then we got
that
one with Sports Direct.
Amazing.
And what I'm leading to is going to Brooks. We asked to do a presentation over there about the club and the impact, and asked this person to do me up a little
testimonial.
I read testimonial and I sent the car and goes, holy lance in the voice, Jesus, what the actual fuck. You don't realise it until it's in front of you.
In black and white.
So we used that obviously over in Brooks to showcase what it does for people. And that was one story about somebody that was going through the absolute mill at home, needed an outage, full of antidepressants, didn't see a way out of life, and running club saved them.
And for someone to open up to us and tell us that,
and to be us for our presentation as well, to be that proud of the change for it to be put out like
but
that.
One of the things was in a inner city running club got my three kids back to mammy, and that was just like,
I had to get the shiver down my spine, and I'm not messing.
And that was one of them moments where you're like, what the fuck are we actually doing? And people always say, you love the club, you enjoy the club. Never get to enjoy the club, because the way it's ran, it's obvious what's next. And there's certain times that something just hits you in the face and you're like, and that was that particular moment. And there's other stories then, like Maria's that had cancer 8 years ago.
The only reason I'd done it.
Done the run.
Now
he's not an active 100% member all the time, but this club has inspired him to get his life back.
So if there's an event coming up, don't worry about it. He'll be there to collect his medal.
And then like to the broader scale of things about impact on people, like the neighbours in my flat team yesterday are amazing. They don't run. As soon as an event on, they'll all throw their hand in, clean the flats, like wash dog shy, put out bins to help with the soup and sandwiches. Yeah. So it's a running club, and back to it, it's more than a running club because it's a community. Yeah. Yeah. It really is a community aspect.
That it's bringing businesses into it that have helped us through fundraising and stuff like that for the club.
It's the knock-on effect but like that
when,
has.
When we say members, people think when we say members, it's people that's running.
Yeah.
But it's back to what Dwayne said there. It's about people helping out. People giving their time to clean up the flats, get the events ready. Just people handing out medals, doing what we ask of them. Okay. And do you know what I mean? That makes them feel part of the club. They've 100% probably never been part of a club before.
Well, it's people. Think about it. There's probably people in them flats, probably old Marty down the balcony that would have been giving about fuck about people usually. Yeah. And now she's involved and she's talking to the neighbours where she probably
that's
wouldn't
actually
have before.
Her name Marty! No, I'm only messing.
But Carlin. The likes of people that wouldn't have probably had conversation throughout a day.
That's great.
They're dead
and they love, like, even to, when the, like, we like to have a bit of energy at the start line. They do be all out on the balconies looking out.
I see it the last time.
Great.
And when we started, like, we're there from six, half six in the morning.
It's a full fucking
day,
then
music is on at 7 a.m, like, on a Saturday or a Sunday.
Yeah.
Not a complaint.
Yeah.
People are out smiling, they're standing there in their house coats having a smoke, looking over the land, and it's great.
Oh, the flats are great. The flats, I have to say, and it's another big success with the club is because we're all grounded as well.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's, and I have to clearly say, it's not about where you're from, it's about where you're going.
100%.
Not that we're aiming to be the biggest in the world, but we're all together. We're all the one topic what we want to do.
Yeah.
We all come together regardless of what's going on. And I think even with the flat situation, like, everyone is witty. Everyone has the banter. Everyone rips the piss out of you.
It's an inner city thing. Yeah. And it's
another point
at
the club where people are coming in to do the events. They just want to see the flats.
Oh, yeah.
It's mad.
Oh, God, yeah. Because they're going to get people from different areas. But I've like, never
this
been
is
here.
This is mad.
How far the club has touched people, right? We've people training at the moment from Navin, Maid,
Cavan.
The last Kickstarter group we had, we had people training in Scotland. And then we had people coming across from a holiday in Boston last August and seeing we had an event on and counted the flats. And he was 64 years of age, was he, Carl?
Yeah, he was a good age.
He was a good age.
He had white hair.
What was Lawrence, was it?
I think it was Lawrence.
Lawrence, you were telling me about that day.
Yeah. And, like, that was another one. And hell, like, people coming from market and stuff, so it's amazing. And there are little moments when you get a smack of reality in the face, and like, this is amazing. And
it's unbelievable. We get him girl and all to bring home, and you know, just
and he's two stepping back to Boston telling them about
flats. He didn't get through customs. I'm what Carl gave him.
Is that the van in Compton? Do you remember actually? What was it? It was the first year anniversary. Yeah, remember we had a party in the flats, after the event. We had saxophone player, DJ, the whole.
Oh, yes, don't do things
but
in halves at
next
all.
Of all, three randomers come in.
Yeah.
They're being in a taxi outside and they hear the music and they come in.
Yeah.
They were from America or something like that and they start having dance-offs.
Yeah. They're spinning on the heads.
Like, where are you from or something? I think they said the US as well, and we were like, play just walking in here because if you like us being over in New York walking into the Bronx,
literally,
you know what I mean? Hearing a load of rap music, wouldn't be going there.
But come here, and I tell you, walking into the flats, and we use after a few gargles, at especially the anniversary, you are hugging and kissing everybody, you are bringing everybody in.
It's great, and it's this year we're going 3 years, like, and what we've achieved in the space of 3 years is it's exceptional. Like, you know, you'd look back and you'd say, Jesus, how did that even happen? Some things have just fell in our laps as well.
Yeah,
I believe in good karma, which is great. But there's a good work ethic behind the club, and like, I always say it, maybe I shouldn't, but I just want big people to know. Some people speak down about the club as well, you know. Some people have
some
people have a negative attitude on the club.
Yeah.
When they speak negative of the club, it hurts me, hurts him. It's the baby.
It's personal.
But, and if anyone that's listening that has a negative attitude to the club,
ring Wagon actually. Actually, and ask him for a scrap because he will step out.
It's probably even people that haven't been to the club.
But it's not even,
of course, it's always people that aren't involved because it's a jealousy
outside,
thing. I reckon it's people that haven't got the confidence or people that have a bit of it.
I'll tell you what the problem is.
Change your opinion.
And I didn't. It's not being negative. What you put in is what you get out. And I would take anybody's hand that puts in the work that's put in behind the scenes in a city running club.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do that and you get to the same level that we're at, and I'm not saying we're at an extraordinary level, if you do the exact same work that we do, I'll shake your hand because I promise you, it's not easy.
Yeah.
It's really, really tough. Like, we have 5 WhatsApps going at the moment.
Yeah.
That's without trying to chase sponsors for events, trying to organise races, trying to do this and trying to do that. It's what we signed up for. Love everything about it.
Yeah.
But don't don't speak negative about us because you're jealous of what we have and what we've created.
Yeah.
Because it's a very, very positive thing.
Yeah.
And it's over the last war, and I've always said it, it's in black and white. Conor McGregor is the prime example of it. They'll build you. They'll build you. And once you hit a certain level, they're going to try and drag you down and say this and say that and say this.
Of course, but people want to see you do good, but not better than them.
110%.
That's always the way it is.
So, and it does hurt at times. But I'll be honest, it puts fuel in my fire.
It does, a little boot up the hole every now and again. Like,
a bit of healthy competition.
Yeah. 100%.
And it's healthy competition is I love that because always work best off that. And it's great.
Yeah.
So when people start putting poison in the well, that's...
And for what yous are all trying to do, say in the fitness community, it is all about wellness at the end of the day. So whether the wellness is coming from you or them or them, it shouldn't matter where it comes from.
The industry should be big enough for so many
100%,
people.
100%.
Obviously, there's enough piece of the cake for everyone.
Yeah.
Regardless of what cake you like, there's enough piece for everyone. Mm-hmm. And anyone that gets people active, hats off to you.
Yeah.
110%. Hats off. And I decided to some of the members would come back, did you hear what this person said about the club?
Don't get involved now.
And I said something one night was, if there was a fight in the flats, you'd pull your blinds and mind your own business. And they're like, no, we fucking would. We'd run out and look out. But it's just stay in your own lane.
100%.
And we have done that as well. Like, but it's just, of the last while, it's a little bit poison in the well. Certain little things that has been said. And it's just one of them things like, well, if you put the time and effort into what we put in and you get to the level where we're at.
And speak.
And when I say that, that's not being egotistical about it. Like,
of course.
Oh, who's now me with the fucking with the club?
It's not about being
having an ego, but it's more just about don't try and shut us down for trying to do good.
Yeah.
Until you know what goes on behind the scenes.
Listen, the door is open for you. If you want to come, come.
That's
do you know what I'm saying?
Pop up to the club and you'll change your opinion fairly
100%.
Quick.
And we get people that come to the club that don't enjoy it, and that was another big learning curve for us.
But that's all right as well.
That was a learning curve, wasn't it, Carl?
Yeah,
like, Dwayne's like, I wasn't ready for that.
it's not going to be for everybody. Running is not for everybody.
Yeah.
And there is people that will go up and they probably won't be an active member as in run. They probably go up to the Grange Garment to walk around while we're running.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And they're still a valued member at a club.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Running is not for everybody. But if people want to come up and walk while we're running or just be there to be a part of a club that you've never been a part of, that means just as much to us than the people running with us.
Still just getting people out. And that was just our goal in the first place, was getting people out.
COVID was mad.
Yeah.
But without COVID, there's no way in our city running club.
Yous would still be in whatever position, probably job that yous were
unemployed
in at that time.
Unemployed at the time.
Yeah.
I just said it today.
Coffee club.
Yeah, I just said it today. I swear to God that this, since COVID happened, has changed my life. Yeah. It was the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Well, it was apart make or break for everybody, and I do believe that.
It was the best thing that ever happened to me apart from Maria. but seriously, COVID was, it's been very good to us. Like, we had a joke about it years ago when we started the club saying, the running club spread quicker than COVID in the community because everyone was on it. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's what we said that when that was happening. So it's good. And now on the back end of all that show, the COVID, we still have a big, massive amount of people, which
and
is amazing. Because we always thought it'd fall off, but it just seems to be getting bigger.
That's what we thought. You know, when life was starting to come back in drips and drabs. And
you thought people go back to their jobs
people are
and
start
wouldn't
going
have
back
the time
to work
and stuff.
And they're not
going to
have time. They're going to finish that bit later, and then we're going to be left with so many people. Is it going to be worth our while? It got bigger and it's just,
but people was obviously going back to their jobs and saying, well, I'm doing this on a Wednesday and a Saturday, I'm doing this. Oh, you have a cousin that hasn't got like good headspace, bring them down, we'll do this. Do you know what I mean?
And that's what we always say, if you can make it, make time for yourself, because if you can't help yourself, you can't help someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's back to that member that said, when the kids got their mammy back, she couldn't help herself, she can't help the kids.
Yeah.
So like that, when you're putting time into yourself, you're investing in yourself, you're putting in good, you're going to get out good. Them kids now will have their mammy back. And do you know what I mean? It's not just one person we're affecting, it's families.
That's absolutely unbelievable. Mm. Like when you talk, as you said, you opened during COVID to keep people on their feet and keep people moving, kind of.
It's mental. Like, we're doing 3 trips in a year abroad and we'll never stop them.
Yeah.
Never ever stop them. So we've done Rome,
Barcelona,
and we've done Madrid. You're looking at people with medals around their neck saying, they're not coming away on a holiday, a running holiday. They've medals around their neck, they had to achieve another marathon, 21K or 10K. And you're looking at them saying, they would have never believed in themselves. when starting. And it's only until they build a bit of confidence, a bit of reputation of running, a little bit of fitness, then like, and next of all, they see the videos from Sam going out. He is a massive part to play in the club as well, like, and he has, because he's the one that does all the videos and all the content comes from him. All the good content comes from him in terms of the race days and stuff. So he's a massive part to play in the development of the club.
When are you running?
That's a good question. I think we haven't signed up for all this.
I got bullied into it. Can we do that with him now?
Yeah.
He can't.
Like, I already work.
He can't. He does all the videos.
No, well,
we don't
we said
videos
we're
going
to get the drone to chase him in August.
Are you doing the run that I know? I'll
do it with you. I have a
wonderful. I'm going to hold you to that because you have to do
can
it.
Can we shake on that? Shake on that.
Hell, Viv doesn't know what's going on. I'll deliver.
I've appeared a short time.
Jamie run with us
around
once. Cheek me. So it's not just the Perio's coaching. You have other coaches that work alongside you, but there's a very big character that works alongside you, that being Darren Saunders.
Larger than life.
He's amazing. He's great, and he's a great asset to the club. So. Going back to this morning, there was a lot said this morning, but someone asked about the team that we have built. Didn't happen in terms of we went out trying to pick these people.
Yeah.
The club just evolved into this kind of group that we had, and Darren has been a massive bonus to it. Yeah. So I was teaching Jordan Culver down on Troy Train when the gym was open back up, was doing the heat cardio classes.
Yeah.
And me and Darren got on like a house on fire. So the dance class was on. Darren was disco dancing while he was training. He was flirting with me.
Yeah, of course.
I was doing
a
couple of PTs with him.
Little sly ones.
And
Maria was waiting outside for training after that.
So I was going back to work then. The running club was actually set up. And then I was going back to work. Darren was like, please don't leave. I said, Darren, I can't do the teaching the classes job and run club.
Yeah.
It's impossible. So I left. And then he came to the run club. He's like, I can't run. And then he just molded into this runner. But more importantly, it's not about his running. It's his personality that brings
to the club. I think 1/6 of the club is the Saunders.
Yeah, like they have the Saunders.
There's a gaggle of them, isn't there? There's so many.
Yeah, and they look at the family discounts and all this. They're not getting it. No, but Darren is amazing. And he's been the biggest part of playing the
what
club.
What was it? Was his birthday at one stage, was it?
At one stage?
When we asked him.
When you rented the Gibson? At one stage.
No, we can get to this. But the night we asked him to be a coach, was it his birthday or something?
Yeah,
like
so
that?
It was his birthday and we gave him a t-shirt with coach on the back. Because
I
the coaches.
Remember seeing this.
So, like, even to this year, we took on 6 new coaches. And the coaches are not your certified, or I'm a running coach and I can do this.
Yeah.
So it's the people that we've trained since day one. So it's bringing people through the club, learn them or coach them how to run. Then they become coaches. They get a great sense of achievement out of it because they want to give back.
Yeah.
And Darden was one of those.
Yeah.
But it's great because the members then get, the new members that join the club get the coaching that me and Carl gave to them. But they cascade it down in a way, their own little bit of a twist on it. Do you know what I mean?
Everybody has their own little
So
flair,
we've recruited from within, but it's paid off dividends and they love it, aren't they, the new coaches, Carl?
Yeah, they love it. Like, me and Dwayne have hit many PBs since we started running.
Yeah.
And we only kind of, like, we were like, do you know what, if we're going to call ourselves coaches, better become good at it. Because
mm-hmm.
can't really be. Now, I know you can have a lot of knowledge about things and not be great at it, but be an exceptional coach.
Yeah.
But we were like, let's put ourselves to the test. Let's see how far we can go with it. So like that, we put ourselves to the test. We've picked up many PBs along the way. But the most magical thing is when you put into someone and you see that coming out and them reaching the milestones, their PBs, and you're like, that is unbelievable. It's a special feeling when you see someone come across that finish line and they've walked their hole off to get the 5K, 10K. It doesn't matter the distance. But when they've hit that milestone that they wanted to hit, their goal, it's special, isn't it? Like, we're standing there and we're like, wow.
But even we were going off topic in terms of Darren. I just realised that.
Oh yeah, sorry.
Attention span the goldfish. Ian is laughing here because he knows
as
well.
The way it always goes.
But just that was to the coaches. But Darren was the first coach that we brought into play.
Yeah.
And it was because Jordan, the club, he's great with people. He's great with the members. He's great with his dancing, his stage skill, all that kind of stuff.
He was always athletic and he was always a leader. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. No matter what he did.
But it's like, for example, go back to more than a run club. When there's someone's birthday, we do a collection, put on a bit of a hoorah. Yeah. Now, it's gone to the stage we can't do that anymore
because there's too many people.
If you miss one person, It's not great.
Yeah.
And then Darden's going around, hey, love, got that 5 euro around the door. Everyone sees Darden coming and they're trying to avoid him. Like, so
looking at the floor.
He's called the enforcer.
He's a great addition to the club, and he's a great addition to the team that we have. We've been very, very lucky in that. I think that's, I always talk about it to the group, and very big on Football Managers and how Football Managers run clubs.
Yeah.
I've always been into that. I'm always trying to run the club as a football club in terms of, like, Sir Alex Ferguson has this thing, treat everyone with the same respect. Yeah. Like, for example, is your assistant coach to the chef. Everyone has a part to play.
I think you should treat people like that in life anyway, do you know what I'm saying?
And, like, everyone has a part to play in the club, and people don't realise, when you people listen to this podcast, if you have ever been involved in a City Runner club, you have had your part to play of the success story or the train that we're on at the moment. And people don't realise that. So even if you came to one session or you, Carly, or one event, you had a part to play. You got us loads of followers off that, by the way.
Who are me out? Go on.
People don't understand that. If you get involved with the club, or you like or share anything that we have, everyone has a part to play in it.
Yeah.
Because it's continuing the hype train. I think it's
just only brewing for you. I was only saying this, like, I was so excited to get you in, and I think it's just because we're all friends such a long time, years, and we're all after ending up in this really fucking weird social media world.
Weird. Yeah.
And if we can lift each other and help each other, all the better. Do you know what I mean?
It's mad. Like, I would never call myself a blogger.
Oh, no, you are. Did you see our video the other day?
So now
we've... Carly texted him, I said, stop it. So he just slagged me and be like, oh, Carly 20, do you know all this shit?
He loves being behind the camera.
Oh, he's a tart.
I'd be like,
an absolute tart. He used to slag me, and then he had his little blogger video up today. What was it for? A competition, Dwayne?
So it's another success of the club as well, because I think I'm the same person behind the camera that I am behind them.
100%. Yeah, and I do say that.
Just raw as it is. Slag me if you want. I couldn't give a shite.
Yeah.
But it does, it enhances people in, and it's great, but it gives people certain information. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not great at spellings or anything like that. Cards always bleeding. I'm brutal at all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I've never been great. And since I started working with Sports Direct, you know, I had to kind of up my game in terms of paying a bit more attention.
Yeah.
So I find it very hard to focus.
Mm-hmm.
I do. And I obviously said to you, I think of ADHD. I had to get away. We're not getting a few quid for me acting the bollocks. Like. But it's only to start. It's only
to
start.
I'm telling you.
This Christmas is going to be good.
How do you think we got the clubhouse?
How do you think he's going back to Kilsa Desi?
Yeah, all inclusive in Kilsa Desi. Coming home with the new teeth and the new gear and everything.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What was I saying? The blogger, being a blogger. So since I started working with Sports Direct, I had to start paying a bit more attention.
Yeah.
But one of the great things with working with them was, they've given me amazing opportunities, and we can announce it now, the club are to sign a partnership with Sports Direct.
Yeah,
which is amazing.
I think we did there about 20 minutes
you
ago.
You said that you were working. You didn't say a partnership. You said that you were sponsorships with them and stuff.
So it's Inner City 5. No, I'm joking. But it's great, because what's happening is, the content that they want me to do is just be myself. So I have to be this fake person, don't have to put on this, you know, like,
persona, yeah. It is.
Do you know what I mean? So yeah. That makes me feel a little bit more
sad. Where we're from, like, people like us don't often get opportunities. Yeah. We're companies and brands like that. Yeah. We'll get opportunities that we all give each other. And we're our own businesses. People that open up businesses of their own, they'll give us opportunities.
I think it's
places like that don't give us.
I think it's starting to
change. It is starting, but only now, Kat.
Looking at social media now. Yeah. The amount of people that's going out there that's from the same backgrounds, mm-hmm. and you're starting to see them rise and rise. And then,
but do you not think that it's all a little bit of a thing now? It's kind of a little cutesy thing now that they're getting us all in. And
it
I'm
definitely
like,
is. But if you could bottle what those kind of people have, you'd sell it.
It's after taking them this long to realise it.
And that's what they know now. They know now what's special.
About probably, about 7-8 years ago.
Yeah.
About 7-8 years ago. And I was selling, doing the sales, and I was fucking making 100 sales a month. I was getting a fiver commission. I was winning iPads. I was winning everything. Then they made me a sales coach to look after 250 people. And they knew if I could give them everything that I had to 250 people, how much more money could they make?
Yeah.
And as a girl, Karen Naldi, she was a fantastic manager. I said to Karen, I said, if I owned this office and I was the manager of this floor, we wouldn't have anybody working in it from outside town. She goes, that's some statement to make.
Yeah.
And I goes, I'm telling you now, if you wanted this floor to succeed, you get people from town in it because they
sell sand to the Arab.
Sell sand.
Look at the stalls on Murray Street, Henry Street, come Christmas time.
And that was it in a nutshell. Like, it's the people from town. You get the right people. Look, there's bad.
I think people
bad
from
everywhere.
Class areas in general, because you get the likes of fucking Cabra and all, even all, just the old fucking.
And they are the people that have the crack. Like, and for the running club, like, we have a broad horizon between Dublin 1, 3, and 7.
Yeah.
And they're all just the crack.
Would you say a classist?
Would I? To a degree, yes. I would.
I am.
To a degree, I would say yes. So when people look, when people speak down to me,
it's a big thing.
Don't like when people speak down to me. For example, I have this persona with pubs, fucking wankers, especially in around their area. They won't let you in with a tracksuit on, put a tracksuit bottoms on. If you get down a pair of jeans on, you have 4 or 5 points, they're watching you. People class or look down on people in their own area. People were pumping the money back into these kind of places. I don't like that. Or I don't like if someone thinks they're higher than me. You're more educated than me. Congratulations. But you won't be more streetwise than me.
100%.
I got caught off guard one day. Jay was going to Australia at the time. I walked in, I was on my own waiting on him. And I was at their ordering a point or something like that. And then your man come up to me, he goes, "Are you all right?" I goes, "Yeah, I'm just at their ordering there." Mm. He stepped out from behind the bar and looked me up and down to make sure I had a pair of jeans on. Now I had, because I knew there was a dress code.
That was one of your days, was it?
And I was caught off guard. Usually you'd be quick and you'd say something, but it was just the way it happened. I was like, what the fuck just happened there? He's had that look of me up and down, you know what I mean? But, like, back to classism, like, I don't agree with it. I think it's wrong. It's not like, I think we're against them, they're against us. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I don't think we should be in the minority there.
No, of course not. But I know I have a chip on my shoulder in certain senses, and I shouldn't have.
Yeah.
And I know it's childish. And I know that Ian's laughing because he fucking knows.
You're always fucking on me.
He fucking knows. Because we give Ian stick. Ian lives in Drumcondra. He has a lovely bike with a basket on it. And this is it. And even Viv, slagging Viv. But it's all love. You know that it is.
It's all friendly, man.
100%. You know what I mean? But it comes different to certain places where, like.
So if I'm being very honest with you, right? And this is how raw I can be with you, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're walking down the road and someone bumps off you and they're posh. And they're like, "You fucking scumbag. You're this, you're fucking that."
Yeah.
And you say to them, "I'll punch the fucking head off you." Yeah. Instantly they call you a scumbag.
Yeah.
But if that person never opened their mouth, the altercation wouldn't have happened in the first
100%.
Place. 100%.
Yeah.
That's a massive problem.
Sometimes they're the first to instigate.
It's a massive problem.
The argument. And I know people that kind of, they go to good jobs, they're from flats, mm-hmm. and they kind of change the way they talk because they feel like they have to.
Yeah.
I'm proud of where I'm from.
Yeah.
I love the
flats. Well, good for you, Carl.
I love the flats. I'd never hide that from anybody.
Yeah.
Someone said to me, "Where are you from?" You had to go around the classroom, everybody's, "I'm from here, there, everywhere." I wouldn't be shy and sitting in the corner say, "I'm from the flats."
Yeah. Yeah.
I would stand up. I'm from the flats.
And I live in the top balcony.
The penthouse. We call it the penthouse. Now, I love telling people I'm from the flats. I think you have a great upbringing in the flats.
You have pride for that, but you do understand that up until a couple of years ago, we had to change our addresses on CVs, Carl, because we weren't getting jobs.
You still do. It only happened to me a couple of weeks ago. I'm only learning how to drive. don't need to drive when you're from town.
Yeah.
It's not a big thing. You can just walk.
Oh, no, you just go by foot everywhere.
Foot off, bike.
Stress the life out of me.
We just had this today. A lot happened today.
Oh, my God. No, a lot really did. Before you came in here.
It's like when looking for insurance here a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
You're pointing in your address. The price goes up here.
Now, in fairness, I won't park my car in your flat.
I'd say they're safer than a house.
Yeah, of course, and you're all the elements on the balcony. There's nothing happening down cars.
There's always someone looking over the landing. Yeah, yeah. Safest house.
Yeah.
Safest flats. But if I was to change it to Tasha's sister's address, the price comes down because it's a driveway.
You didn't do that anyway, but if you did... Yeah.
If you did, I would never do that.
I know you'd never do that. No, I know what you mean.
Ever. But yeah.
What we say as well, like, we had an awful time of getting work, like, awful time.
Yeah.
Just the interviews, the job wasn't right. The biggest reason why the club is doing so well is because we have fantastic personalities. Yeah. And I've always went into every job interview and he says, what's your greatest attribute? It's your personality. That's what I believe in terms of able to hold a chat with somebody, a conversation, or adapting to people's lifestyles or whatever it may be.
You talk your way into it.
But I think that's a dying trait now.
100%.
With the phones.
Yeah.
Because if you're sitting outside there in the waiting room and there's someone sitting next to you, feel a bit awkward, take the phone now.
Yeah.
And you get lost in social media.
Yeah.
Whereas you get someone that's 60 odd years of age, they're sitting there probably reading a newspaper or probably just sitting there with nothing, and then they're instigating a conversation straight away because... Yeah. They know how to hold a conversation.
That's what they're used to. But that's the way it was.
Younger generations now, they don't know how to hold a conversation because
that's where all the social anxieties coming from.
Everything
all
just
the
comes.
Fucking,
right,
yeah.
You have a phone at arm's reach, and any time you feel kind of out of place, take out the phone and just sit there.
Yeah.
You could be sitting there in front of 100 people. You might as well be sitting them 100 million miles away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
even to like what you're saying, it's so true. And being streetwise is it. Being from the flats, you're taught being streetwise.
Well, listen, it's all well and good being able to read a book, but if you can't read a room, you're fucked.
Yeah.
And that's what I always say.
And I'll go back to today. Well,
today.
So for anyone that doesn't know, you're doing a well-being talk this morning.
It's only 4 to 5 today. It's like it's coming off.
We're at a well-being talk, and my biggest thing is, instead of, I do a PowerPoint presentation, it's the most basic one you ever see, but it's more about engagement.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's holding a room. Can you go in as a speaker and hold the room? And I always think I do, because it's engagement and it's interaction.
Yeah.
And if you haven't got that about you, it's hard to do, obviously, those kind of things. Now, if you're streetwise and you add a degree into the scenario as well, I believe you could take over the world.
100%.
Because it's two different types of intelligence.
Yeah.
And the running club does so well from us being streetwise is because we rip the piss out of each other. We now went across the line. We've people that's in the club that have special needs.
Yeah.
And people might say, we rip the piss out of them. We don't treat them any different.
Yeah. But treating them different. If you don't give them sick, you're fucking treating them different.
We know when to draw the line.
Do they know when to draw the line, Sam?
No. Sam was never
fucking
doing
it. Sam's like that. They fucking don't.
Like, so it's identifying when to draw the line.
Yeah.
But it's everyone that we have in the club, 90% of them are streetwise.
Yeah.
It's not since... This is.
But you know what it is? You have the scruffs treating the poshies, and they're showing them how to be streetwise.
Over the last while, the broad horizon of people, like we've lawyers, we've barristers, we've solicitors,
plenty of paramedics.
At least I know where to go if I need a fucking hand.
But we've loads of people like.
Do you hear that, Ian? My friends, no lawyers and barristers. All right.
And we'll take your bike and your basket. Yeah, we're fucking back and mad, Ian.
Take the milk out of your tea.
We were doing really well up to, right. What were they?
No, so but that's another element to the club, and it's probably the main ethos behind the club is
you're
having,
looking for it up here.
Yeah, it's having the crack, but no one obviously went to draw the line as well.
Yeah. Does that line be drawn often?
No, we do. I'm very serious when it comes to the club. I'm the most messing person apart from it. But when we say something, we mean it. And Carl calls me bad cop, good cop. I don't let anyone away with anything in the club. Yeah, right. I believe because the club is so successful, it's because we believe in a work ethic. You have to work hard to get there. You can't just show up. As much as it's a run club and it's a community club, we want it to be the best. right? We wanted to be the best running club.
You said to me already, you said, Carly, I am competitive.
No, I am competitive. No, I am very competitive, and I take pride in that. I do take pride in that, and it's a reason why...
It's not a bad trait.
It's a reason why we're doing so well. So what happened was, we got T-shirts and people weren't wearing them, so I brought in a 2 euro fine. And I says, anyone that doesn't wear that blue and orange T-shirt to the club...
He's a hungry cunt.
You pay a 2 euro fine.
How many times did I say it? Is that my first time? Yeah! I'm allowed to say three CEO next Tuesdays in the podcast.
Yeah.
And it's actually three between me and Sean, but he's not here today, so I have to
go
three.
Many to
I don't think you was allowed to do one, because I had to be very vigilant.
So anyone that didn't wear the T-shirt was a cunt. Yeah.
No. Can I get Carl one more for you, love?
And anyone that didn't pay that 2 euro was a cunt.
Don't say it. Don't fucking say it.
Sorry, Valo. Sorry.
This is a bonus episode.
Not joking. Within the space of a week, everyone wore a blue and orange T-shirt, and that's when everyone started to recognise, Jesus, who's that club? That's the NIC running club.
And that's what it was. It was an advertisement for the club.
Yeah, 100%.
Running them everywhere around Dublin.
Yes, now, and you know what? They're such vivid colours as well. Anytime I see blue and orange now, it doesn't matter where I am, I'm like, NIC running club.
But that happened to us. We'd be running up the park, me and him. And someone be coming towards us in an orange top.
He belonging to us.
Is that someone out of the club? Yeah. And it could, probably not.
Yeah.
Could be an orange Adidas top. Yeah.
No, I'm talking about, and I'm walking by Zara and on, and I'll see blue and orange. And I'll be like,
it's,
you're in the club.
It's even like, it has this thing where it's forced up best dressed, and it's always been like that. It's always been professional. Even though I'm at Barstow, it's always be professional, regardless of what we're doing. And anywhere we're going, anyone that hasn't got a club top on, we get them on. So all the trips that we do abroad, we get brand new gear. So we travel through the airport, everyone has the same gear on, it looks the business, looks professional, everyone's like, who the fuck is that?
Yeah.
We from the flats in Henrietta Street.
Do you hear your ordin? Do you know we have Rome in
here? For the first time we got going through the airport with Rome, and there was like 13, I think there was 15, including people that were just travelling with us, or 16, and people were just looking. You know when you see a load of people in the one uniform, you're like, what is this all about? Like, and then you get people questioning where you're going, what you're doing, where you're from, and then they're like, well, actually, might join us when you're back. Fair play to you.
Always wanted to do something like that. Follow
on the page, they're commenting on things, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So like that, it gathers momentum as well.
It looks the business though.
It looks so good.
But honest to God, like, so can you imagine when you're having all these great, amazing people, but they are going around looking like Ragball Rovers? It doesn't go. And no, but it's serious though. Like, and this is my business head getting on in terms, and I don't want to make loads of money, but I want the club to be as professional and look as professional as they can.
Yeah.
And even to our social media, like, we keep it as professional. Now it's air raw content, but we never put up shite on it. Like, there's no shite ever being put up on it.
Oh, that wouldn't be me and Dwayne just walking down here and just taking mad videos. And
we get these people coming up in the country and like, I've never seen a spread like this. Like, and most of the time we have a load of stuff being thrown out, but everybody's accounted for. The soup, the sandwiches, the tea, there's coffee. Yeah. Free for everyone.
Yeah.
And you go to these other events, you have to pay for your tea, pay for your coffee, all that kind of stuff. But we don't believe in that. We don't come from an awful lot.
But so that's because of where you are from. Yeah. Everybody has always been looked after through every aspect.
You know when someone comes into the flats and they're doing a bit of walk and a gaff, and then next of all,
tea and toast, saying,
hey, do you want a bit of cuddle? Yeah. Want a bit of stew? Yeah. You don't get that anywhere. Like, you're not getting out of that gaff until you eat that cuddle.
Yeah.
Whether it's brown or white. That's a controversial thing as well, isn't it?
I see a difference really, even because I obviously went to school in town. Now, I was only in secondary school in town. I went to Larkin, right? And obviously all of my friends was from flats around the area, or from the avenues around the area. So I would have seen a big difference. Like, I live in Finglas. Your neighbours don't say hello to each other. I don't know my neighbours' names. I don't know.
It's a funny thing.
It's completely fucking different. And Finglas is classed a working class area, and still the neighbours are allergic to each other.
Well, I'll be honest
with you. The community isn't there.
It's people, honestly, it's the best policy. The flats or town is not what it used to be. It's every year. So when this club start, we start doing, we're all avoiding all these radio stations, all this kind of stuff. The flats is the best place, all that kind of stuff. It's great, right? But now, looking in town, it's not what it used to be. And I used to have this, I'd love me kids to go out in town, look me streetwise. Now we fear. We see you it's 14 and 13, 14 selling grass. The town has changed. The flats have changed completely. And some people won't say that, town is town, but it has changed dramatically. Yeah. Like, there's an awful lot of drugs involved in town. An awful lot of young kids selling drugs in town. And on my mind, in the back of my head, when players go, when the clubhouse up and running and we have everything kind of stabilised where our lives are back under control, love to start walking back in the community with young people.
I was going to say,
we hit on it for a while.
Yeah.
We had a teens club. Right. And we done that half an hour before the adults club, and it was great.
Right.
So there was a demand there. There was a massive demand for the first while, and then it kind of started dropping fizzled off. Fair enough.
Kids get too cool, don't you? Don't you get running, to an age where
they're looking, they're saying, I'm not going running.
I want to be out carrying on and all that.
That's understandable. We were raising little bastards as well.
We probably wouldn't have done it.
We were never involved in selling drugs at that age because it wasn't allowed. My ma would have bet the head off me.
Yeah.
Would have bet the head
off
me.
There's no fear in the kids anymore. Because you can't give someone a clatter anymore, that's why.
So they're starting smoking vapes at 13, 14. Before you know it, they're putting hash oil in at 16.
Yeah.
So...
You have a younger brother. What age, Charlotte, brother?
Toig is 16.
Yeah, and there you go. Like, he's at that age where you're kind of on foot.
And he's going out the sunny for dirt and all, and my blade and the heart must be up, you know, I'll wait till he's in and stuff like that.
He's a good kid, but.
Yeah, no, look, I was no angel.
Don't tell me twice.
No, but you know what I mean? I was no angel, but I learnt me lessons. And obviously, you fear from someone says, like, Carl has his own baby now, like, you know, you'll have your own kid. But the flats have changed. The youth of today has changed in terms of what they're open to. You don't see kids kicking footballs anymore.
It's all iPads.
It's all iPads, or it's when I was going around, my ma hadn't, not to say an awful lot of money, but was never best dressed. Now it's all fashion.
It's half the kids.
When we were growing up, it was great.
Yeah.
Playing football in the flats, playing.
All around piggy, and then you get a few cans with a fucking little hand speaker, and all of us used to be buzzing.
We used to go out parking cars.
Yeah.
Outside the flats.
Yeah.
You used to go, well, miss, I can mind your car. Because we're from the flats and these are barristers going into the forecourts.
Yeah.
They'd be like, better give them a few quid. And we they'd nearly give us
they'd nearly
give us money before they went off anywhere. Because he said, they'll mind my car, they won't let the whales down or whatever. You know what I mean? That's what we used to do. We used to park cars, we used to just run around the flats. The flats felt like they were never ending when you were
There's nothing like that no more. No flats. Like, even to my flats, like,
don't see kids out playing.
My flats were very, very quiet. But like, you look around now and you look at flats and like, you don't see kids playing now.
Yeah.
You see young from other communities coming in selling drugs. That's the harsh reality of it.
Yeah.
And then other kids that's seen it, and it's disgusting because they're only 13, 14. They only see them in the centre, bundles of fivers, thinking they're gangsters.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really, really sad. It really, really is sad. And you see, like, you take drugs, whatever, you start selling them, then the money comes into your hand, and then before you know it, then you think you're bulletproof. And it's really sad looking. You don't see many community clubs being spoken about anymore.
Yeah.
You don't see many projects for young kids as there was for those years ago. We were all better than
going to the kids. Yeah. You can't get them in the fucking door.
We were younger, we were blessed with the clubs that we had. Yeah. We had Deco's, we had Macro at the time, which is now Brad Oak.
I was going to say, you went to Brad Oak, didn't you?
We was in every club, Carly.
Yeah. He was in every club.
We played football with Alfie's. Alfie was the local priest, and he... Local, what was he, a brother or was he a priest? Whatever. But we all went to America and all with him. Went over to Milan, Lazio. Like, never would have got that.
Even Deco's, we got brought to Boston. We went to Boston.
Lawrence, was he over there?
Lawrence wasn't there. But then that's where we get the idea of traveling abroad for the trips.
Yeah.
We try and implement, we got those trips for free, like, pretty much free. We try to implement them to the club.
I know, on the next one.
So what we do is, and walked out, the business.
Better
fill
your sponsor card.
We give everyone sponsor cards.
I'd be up the roof. I'd be on Instagram. Help me.
Yeah, we give everyone sponsor cards.
Up the drum condra with it.
And we get try a few raise.
Oh, I'll shake them all down up in drum condra.
You get two.
I'd say we have one of your natives. I'll have you in hostage outside the cab. Do you want to save him?
You need to give him two sponsor cards. One for himself, one for his basket.
Fill the basket.
We're only talking about classes of scenes in the height. Anna, you're doing great, sweetie. Well done.
E.T. phone home.
He's like, as if I haven't heard all these before.
So we give people sponsor cards to bring in as much money as possible. And what we do is then we put an X amount of money, we order all the gear, put X amount of money off the gear, we book transports to and from the hotel, and whatever's left in the kitty, we put it behind the bar in the nightclub forever. So we try and make the costs of the trip
minimal,
As best we can. You know, the more people you have, the harder it gets.
Yeah.
You know, but that was the whole ethos behind that. We got brought on trips of pretty much free.
Yeah.
And we tried to showcase, can we deal with that through running? And it's worked and it's great.
What is the goal? Is there, say, 2 years, 5 years? What do you see down the line for inner city running? What do you want down the line for inner city running?
I'm always thinking long term. I always do. Yeah. And I don't know if it's the business heading me on. Not that I want to make money, Carly. I don't. Money means nothing to me, but I want opportunities.
Oh, of course.
Opportunities are amazing. And come opportunities is
you're
great.
More so like concentrated on your ability, I feel, Dwayne, rather than like
great,
the.
Like, and what comes opportunities is great memories.
Yeah.
And you can't buy that.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, in three, four years' time, I want to break a market with the club.
I'd love that.
And that sounds a bit like, oh, we want to look like a rock star. We've broke into Europe through Brooks, and America's the next step for the club. Turn the club full time was a big thing for me. Mm-hmm. We've done it, we've got a clubhouse, so them things have ticked off. So now, to me, now my mind is what's next? Keep making the events great. Want to run an event in the Keys. We got the backing from Sports Direct to run an event in the Keys. The Dublin City Council shut us down. So that's the next big step. Start breaking into America, and then long term, then I'd love to take a team to Kenya. I'd love to take a team to Kenya, and what's involved in the club, loads of tradesmen. I'd love to head across to Kenya, get loads of fundraising done, do a running camp over there and build some shelters for the kids.
Wow.
So that's where I see the inner city running club going. And then more opportunities with Sports Direct, like what's happening now with Sports Direct. They brought us to London in January for a photo shoot. Now they're starting to bring more members now into it. So the members are starting to see to get a piece of the cake now, which is amazing. Yeah. And had a team meeting, and it was mad. I'm a big believer in manifestation.
Yeah. Words are spells. I was just about to say that to you. If you speak, honest to God.
I done a presentation in Brad Oak 2 years ago, and I said everything that has happened on the presentation, we still have it, has happened to date.
Yeah.
And it's a reality check now. I was like, fuck, that's not happening. Great. But the person I am, I don't want to stop now there.
Yeah.
I want to make new goals.
Yeah.
And like heading to America, heading to Kenya. Like we're getting people from running 5Ks. Now we're training people to do Ironman. So there's so much going on in the club, and it's always going to be, I think in order for the club to progress, we need to keep setting goals. We may not have to hit them for 3-4 years, but we can gear towards them. And then please God, in January then, I'd like to be able to give somebody a job. That works with the NSC Running Club, if it's in the gym or as a coach, and pay them. So now that we took it as a business, now let's see how it goes the next couple of months. And then if we can employ someone and give back in terms of giving someone a job, amazing. And if we keep growing, developing, we can give more people work. And that's where I see the club going. People may think, Jesus, he doesn't shut the fuck up. They're big goals. But what we've achieved in the space of 3 years, due to hard work, due to believing in ourselves, and due to staying in our own lane, I really think everything I've mentioned is really, really going to happen. 100%.
You have to aim high, though. Why the fuck would you go low? Do you know what I mean? Especially with what you are after achieving. Yeah. The momentum is there, that you have such a push behind you.
Yeah.
You're laying groundwork now that I don't think you even realise how big it is.
Yeah. No, it is. And it's amazing. But The big thing for me is next year I'd like a race in the Keys. I'd like to have about 6,000-7,000 people from town. I don't want anyone else. And that's probably, shouldn't say that, shouldn't. I'd love to bring all the communities from the inner city together,
mm-hmm.
and put a 5,000 race down on the Keys.
Yeah.
Keep the cost as low as possible, have the best night ever, saxophone, DJs, fireworks, all that kind of, I'd love that on the Keys next year. So if anyone is listening to that, and once it gives a dig out,
anyone in the fucking council is listening. Yeah. Get the finger.
That'd be amazing. There's a lot happening now with the new Kickstarter program and stuff like that. So this year is kind of mapped out for us, but it's already thinking.
You keep on thinking that way, but that's absolutely unbelievable. And you actually have a thing coming on in the next.
Yeah, so we're doing for
next couple of weeks
for Bowie.
Yeah, Bowie. So we're doing, if you want to tell us about that,
I'm not talking too much. I'll let Carl explain that.
So we're doing a fundraiser for Bowie, who's going through leukemia at the moment.
And this is, will you tell us more about Bowie first?
So Bowie's mother actually first came to our attention when she was a member of the club.
Okay.
And I think she'd done one of the Kickstarter programs with our friends.
Right.
So she was a member of the club for a while. Okay. But then obviously we came into contact with Colm Judge. Through another coach, we may say.
Sure. Sorry, the gym is the box.
Whether he likes to be known as a coach within the club, Jay Devereaux. His good friend Colm runs the box gym up in Glasnevin, Finglas, is it? It's, you know,
borderline,
yeah. So we came to a conclusion that we'd do the fundraiser up there. It's a 24-hour challenge.
Right.
Do you want to talk about the challenge itself?
Yeah, so the challenge was the 60 people. I think there's 20
teams of three.
20 teams of three. I think that adds up to 60, doesn't it? It does, yeah.
For
I can't do maths. Don't look at me. I just calculate me fucking nerves.
So what it is, so let's just say it's me, you and Carl on the team.
Yeah.
Somebody must be actively using the machines for 24 hours.
Right.
So
brilliant.
That means if me and Carl are sleeping, you're walking. Now, these challenges is 24 hours straight through. So for anybody that wants to get involved, it'd be great to donate, because when you're fit, you're healthy, it's great. When you're a little girl and you have leukemia.
What age is Bowie?
I think she's 4. Don't quote me on that. 3 or 4.
Okay.
And obviously, Carly, you know yourself. You went through it. This so to be it. A baby, it's obviously hard. So it's 20,
whole life ahead, yeah.
20, yeah. 24 hours of a challenge. 60 people. It's going to be great. It's going to be a bit of crack. The first 2 hours and the last hour will be the best part of the challenge. The rest is going to be torture because you're trying to wake people up to sleep. So if me and Carl, if you're walking, you have to wake me and Carl up to go on the machine. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if one person pulls out our team, then it's just say you and Carl, you know. So it is a challenge in itself. People think, it's only 24 hours.
But knowing that the cars you're down for, it's going to drive you.
Ah, of course it'll drive you.
You do it for 48 if you had to.
Yeah, and have you got enough people partaking in the challenge, or are you looking for people to sign up for the challenge?
So there's the Box Dublin and ourselves.
Right.
There's a team from the PT Box.
Brilliant.
And there's a team from Hot Hit Cardio, and there's a team from
Coach Boy Emmett's
team as well. So there's a good group of people.
So you just have all the people partaking. Yeah. What you are looking for is donations.
It's donations.
People to back the event.
Yeah. I've never really kind of put it out like that, but like whatever money you have, just put it across.
Oh no, listen, call a spade for a little girl. Yeah. Come here.
For whatever money you have, just we'll put the link onto the page.
I'll put it on my personal page. I'll stick it in my bio. Like,
going back, like we have young Kobe in the club. We've done a double marathon with him, and at one stage,
Jay's
son. So, and there had to be a fundraiser done for him. It was Kobe's dream to walk.
Yeah,
and obviously, people that has helped raise that money for that kid, for Kobe, has helped because he walks with an aided walker now. I mean, he hasn't got the full power on his legs, but his quality of life is a little bit better. And he went and done the double marathon with us last year and smiled the whole way through.
Yeah.
So you don't realise when you're making a donation what effect it's going to have going forward for that person.
100%. Doesn't matter if it's €2, €5, whatever.
And we've seen the first time with Kobe. Yeah. Like, and it goes back to the club. We're running club is for anybody.
Yeah.
And Kobe is a massive part of it.
Kobe doesn't miss a Monday. If Jay is leaving the house of a Monday, where are you going?
Yeah.
And he's like,
Cordy is coming along as well.
Cordy's
yeah.
his twin.
Like, yeah.
So
yeah.
like that, like we're bringing a family together through running.
Yeah.
Which is special. See, Jay has asked me and Dwayne to be part of the team. Kobe, it's probably one of the biggest achievements through the running club.
Yeah, it's been amazing.
So going running a full marathon through Dublin, your own hometown, that was special.
With Bowie situation, donations are very much appreciated.
Yeah.
Because you don't know that later down the line. It's a better quality of life, please God. Just get the fucking money out and just put it in. That right in.
Out of pocket.
But this is it. It's heart-rending to see anybody sick, but to see a fucking sick child. Do you know what I mean? So if anybody can give any sort of help, get the finger out, 100%. So, in August, yous are holding an event for yous, a 3-year running anniversary.
Yes.
Right. Wonderful. And is that still open for people to sign up for?
Yeah, so the event in August is the 6th of August. It's the bank holiday and the club will be running 3 years. So we have a 5K, 10K and 21K. We've always had a big number of people come, like 200, 300 people, maybe 350 was the biggest we ever had. But we are pushing for this to be the biggest, and we are putting a good bit of production on behind the scenes. So
I believe we have a familiar face.
Carly?
Coming along, yeah.
Carly's still 21K.
And, not doing 21K.
He nearly got him.
And you know what? I'm actually snapping. I did say I tried to train.
You have to train.
So this is going to make me agreement. And make it easier.
Right.
I will train. Now, I don't know if I'm going to go down to Gaines Gorm because I'm shitting. But can you just send me what I have to do? I definitely
but this is it. So
if you come to a couple of sessions, she'll send you the rest.
Okay.
But people don't realise that when we set up an event, we do training plans at the club. So if you need a training plan, just contact us or just come down to the club and train.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So we're looking, this August, we're looking for a big hoorah. We have saxophones, bongos, we have DJs. We do
a banker message flying around.
And we go back to the pool when we give out runner of the year, runners, runner of the year. And tell that how special that is. These people are never involved in a sporting organisation in their life. And they're going away with runner's runner, most improved runner, club person of the year, and they're going home with a glass trophy, and they're like, I'm a part of something.
It's probably
and
their first time they're ever at getting something in their life.
And this is probably people,
you know,
40 years of age, 50 years of age,
60 years of age. Don't be afraid to say it, Carl.
No,
we won't go 60.
So, yeah, around the August Bank Holiday, it'd be great to get people down. Have a look at our Instagram. Our Instagram is very, very influential. And it'll just actually show you that the people that are showcasing the club, like the videos that's there, it's all feel good.
Take 3 minutes, go through it.
It's, do you know what? It's the most wholesome thing. Yeah. And it is. It's so lovely.
I think if you look through them videos and posts over the last couple of years, it's unbelievable.
So what's your handle on Instagram, Kurt? What's your handle?
In I See You Running Club.
Beautiful.
I thought you were going to say my love handles.
Oh, but you can get a calibers to that if you want. I don't think he wants a calibers to them yet.
But I'll stick the handle for the page on the That's What I Heard podcast page. Sorry, I can't finish an Inner City Running podcast without mentioning my best friend, the whole world, Audrey Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
What a woman. Yeah.
That's my best friend.
What a woman.
That's
she's
my
great.
Best friend.
She's great.
She's
even like to Orgy. I know Ian is looking at us cracking his knuckles for time here. But she's a lady that joined the club and has changed her life. Never ran before. And she is unbelievable at what she does. And we always say this in the club, not everybody is talented at running. Me and Carl, I wouldn't say we're talented at what we do, but we work hard.
Yeah.
And she's a person that just literally works hard and has achieved her goals.
Will we finish on a good quote?
Go on, Carl. Take it away. Now, before we finish up today, Carlito is going to come out with a beautiful quote.
Here we go. Two. If you want to change your body, join a gym. If you want to change your life, join Inner City Running Club. Where does that come from?
Mike's Hennessy.
I got a little shiver up me back. Ah, that's beautiful. I can't thank you enough. Well,
we want to thank you. We want to thank you because it's great to be on. It's great to be given the platform. For the club, always great to talk about the members. So we're very, very grateful that you showed up and Sean has the shits.
I did miss my husband today, but I'm glad that I had two of my friends to look after me. And congratulations on all you've achieved thus far, and all the best going forward in the future.
Nice one, Carly.
Thanks so much.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.